chapter 21st, text number 23. Falashrutir yamranam nashreyo rochanam param shreyo vivakshaya proktam यथा वैषज्य रोचनम् फलश्रुतिर् इयं नृणा न श्रेयो रोचनम् परम् श्रेयो विवक्षया प्रोक्तम् यथा वैषज्य रोचनम् फलश्रुतिर् इयं नृणा न श्रेयो रोचनं परम् श्रेयो विवक्षया प्रोक्तम् यथा वैषज्य रोचनम् यथा वैषज्य रोचनम् फलश्रुतिर्यं नृणा न श्रेयो रोचनम् परम् विवक्षया प्रोक्तम् यथा वैषज्य रोचनम् फलश्रुतिर्यं नृणा न श्रेयो रोचनं परम् मतजीस् Falashrutihi, the statements of scripture promising rewards. Iyam, these. Nranam, for men. Na, are not. Shreyaha, the highest good. Rochanam, enticement. Param, merely. Shreyaha, the ultimate good. Vivakshaya, with the idea of saying. Proktam, spoken. Yatha, just as. Bhaishajya, for taking medicine. Urochanam, inducement. Translation and purport by the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. Those statements of scripture promising fruitive rewards do not prescribe the ultimate good for men, but are merely enticements for executing beneficial religious duties. Like promises of candy spoken to induce a child to take beneficial medicine. Purport. In the previous verse, Lord Krishna stated that persons absorbed in sense gratification certainly deviate from the real purpose of human life. But since the Vedas themselves promise heavenly sense gratification as a result of sacrifice and austerity, How can such promotion to heaven be considered a deviation from the goal of life? The Lord here explains that the fruitive rewards offered in religious scriptures are merely inducements, like candy that is used to induce a child to take medicine. It is actually the medicine that is beneficial and not the candy. Similarly, in fruitive sacrifices, it is the worship of Lord Vishnu that is beneficial, not the fruitive reward itself. According to Bhagavad Gita, those professing fruitive rewards to be the ultimate goal of religious scripture are certainly less indulgent fools, inimical to the purpose of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord desires that all conditioned souls be purified and come back home, back to Godhead, for an eternal life of bliss and knowledge. One who opposes the Lord's purpose in the name of religiosity is suddenly bewildered about the purpose of life. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tvam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitansha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Svaminidhi Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Translation once again. Those statements of scripture promising fruitive rewards do not prescribe the ultimate good for men, but are merely enticements for executing beneficial religious duties, like promises of candy spoken to induce a child to take beneficial medicine. So recently in one of my preaching programs, I was discussing wants and needs. So I asked the people there that what are your needs in life? And they gave a list, basically roti, kapda, makan, food, clothing, shelter, and a few other things. On an emotional level, love and belonging, some people said. And then I asked them, what about the wants? What are your wants in life? And again there was a list, and some fancy things, the luxuries of life. But then a few thoughtful people, they said, what about internet and mobile? Are they needs or are they wants? Some said they are needs. Some said they are wants. Those who said they are needs were more honest. Those who said the wants weren't so honest, I felt. But it is something interesting, because mobile and internet, they were wants at one point of time. And they are needs now, more or less, for most people, except for a fortunate few for whom they are not the needs. So this is like a general principle of this world, that wants transform into needs. The needs of today were our wants at one point of time. And our wants today are going to be needs sometime in the future. This is how the world functions. And this is how material nature punishes the living entity. You are not satisfied just with your needs. You want more and more and more and more. Fine. I'll convert your wants into needs. Because when our wants are converted into needs, and we have got more and more needs in our life, we are more and more bound. Isn't it? The more the necessities we have, the more the checklist increases for us to feel normal in life. For us to lead a normal life, we need more necessities. So we are imposing more conditions. There are more conditions to be satisfied for us to lead a normal life. So that is why the scriptures, Prabhupada translates Baddha Jeev as a conditioned soul. Conditioned soul means so many conditions to be satisfied. So many conditions are necessary for a person to feel normal and peaceful and a little happy. So we get more and more bound. The more the necessities, the more we are bound. But the power of Maya is such that when wants convert into needs, we many times feel that it's a blessing, isn't it? Sometimes people come, and many times in a boastful way they say that. Now, whenever I travel, wherever I go, my minimum requirement is 5-star accommodation. And we feel very impressed. Wow. But actually, if you think about it, that person is so conditioned. His necessities are so high in life, and he's so bound. So we should actually feel sorry for that person, and we should, ideally speaking, we should cry for him, that We have got such stringent needs in life. Now, when wants convert into needs, the first thing that happens is our bondage increases. We are bound by more necessities. Another thing that happens is, now that we have got more necessities, but still our time and energy is the same. The time and energy which we have at our disposal remains the same. So the same time and energy has to be now divided amongst so many necessities of life. And many times we are so much caught up with the superficial necessities of life that we miss out on the basic necessities. A person, you know, joins a company as maybe an executive. But then he wants to rise up higher the corporate ladder. He wants it. So he works hard and he rises up and up and up and up, and one day he becomes the CEO, the chief executive officer. And once you become the CEO, that's your need. If you go to some other company, you have to be CEO there in the second company also. You'll never be satisfied at a lower position. That want has now become a need. And to maintain that position now, you work so hard. This is your new need. So to satisfy it, you work so hard, and a lot of your time and energy is consumed by this new need. So what happens to the more basic need? Like maintaining your health by doing regular exercises. You don't have time for that. So you don't have time for the basic need of bodily maintenance. You don't have time to take food on a regular basis. A regulated lifestyle for leading a healthy life. You don't have time and energy for your family. So your basic emotional needs are no longer met. So we have got all the unnecessary necessities. Prabhupada used to call it unnecessary necessities. Now they are your necessities, but they are actually unnecessary. So a person gets so much caught up with the unnecessary necessities of life that even the necessary necessities of life are neglected. So person has position, fame, money, so many things in life, but no health, no relationships. In this way, the material energy, Mahamaya, punishes the conditioned soul. You are not even able to have a good material life. Forget about having a good spiritual life. And this is the story of the modern world. Recently, this was big news. You know, the founder of CCD, Cafe Coffee Day, V.G. Siddharth, committing suicide. Now, various basic needs not met in life? No, they are perfectly met. But those layers of superficial necessities that he had built upon himself, when they were not met, the person felt so bad. The burden of artificial necessities became so overwhelming that life itself became a burden. And a person committed suicide. This is the story of modern civilization. At an individual level, at a global level, at every level. Now, one of the principles in marketing is how to take your customers from the level of wanting your products to the level of needing your products. If you are able to somehow take your customers from this level to that level, from the level of wanting your products to the level of needing your products, that's considered to be a most successful marketing campaign. And Apple Corporation was extremely successful in making that happen. So those people who wanted Apple products, they started, you know, using Apple products. And once they started using it, slowly but surely it became their need. And they couldn't use any other product anymore. From a want, it became a need. And that's how Apple Corporation became such a hugely successful company. And that's how they are minting money even now. Because they know, no matter how crappy their products will be, still people will continue buying their products. And the best brains in the industry, in the corporate world, are working on how to make this happen. How to take your customers from the level of wanting your product to the level of needing your product. And material nature has been doing it since the beginning of creation, converting wants into needs. If you simply observe how material nature works, how intelligently material nature works, who can deny the existence of God? So, such perfection, such precision. The entire material nature is like a machine that's converting wants into needs at every level, at the micro level, at the macro level, both. Once Prabhupada, he was, you know, taking a stroll in Hawaii on the beach. And he was seeing that there are so many people who are surfing on the ocean. And in Hawaii, a lot of people, they like to surf. Many times they like to surf all day long. So Prabhupada made a statement that they want to surf, and they want to surf the whole day, they'll be born as fish, he said. So material nature, because you want to surf, you want to be in water whole day, you are given the body of a fish. Because once you get the body of a fish, that want becomes your necessity now. Remaining in the water is your necessity. Many people, they take non-vegetarian food. Now that's not a necessity of the human life. To keep the human body fit, vegetarian food is more than sufficient. But still they want non-vegetarian food. And because they want it, material nature will provide them a body of a carnivorous animal in their next birth. And once you become a carnivorous animal, non-vegetarian food is your need. It's your basic necessity. An example from the scriptures. Maharaj Bharat. His story comes in the 5th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Somehow he got attached to a deer and he desperately wanted the association of a deer. So material nature gave him the body of a deer. And once you have the body of a deer, you need the association of other deers. From a want, now it becomes a need. So from one perspective, this is how material nature works. It's like a huge machine that's converting wants into needs. And that's how a living entity is punished. So the question is, If this is how a living entity is punished, if a living entity wants something, why are certain sections of the scriptures actually catering to your wants? Like the Karma Kanda section of the Vedas. They tell you, if you want more pleasure, fine. Do these sacrifices by which you can enter into heavenly planets and satisfy your wants. So why do the Vedic scriptures encourage wants? And Lord Sri Krishna, in this particular verse, answers that question. He says, those statements of scripture promising fruitive rewards do not prescribe the ultimate good for men, but are merely enticements for executing beneficial religious duties. Like promises of candy spoken to induce a child to take beneficial medicine. Now, if the Vedas simply tell you, forget the wants, people will turn away from the Vedas. Because the conditioned souls of this world, they want more and more and more and more. Because they have come here to become the controller, proprietors and enjoyers. So if you tell them no wants, they won't turn to the Vedas anymore. So the Vedas, they have got sections to entice such people. Come, we have got something to satisfy your wants. And once you enter into the house of the Vedas, as you are roaming within the house of the Vedas, you will come across other sections where you will come to know what you should really want in life. Like the Bhagavad Gita within the Mahabharata, or the Srimad Bhagavatam within the Puranas, that tell us what should be our aspiration in life. Turn your wants from material things to spiritual things. Desire Krishna. Desire devotional service to Krishna. Come to the stage of wanting Krishna, of wanting bhakti to Krishna, wanting devotional service to Krishna. And when we want Krishna, when we want devotional service to Krishna, even slightly, Maya, now not Mahamaya, but Yoga Maya, converts that want into a need. It's like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sikshashakam prayers, they are a progression of consciousness. So in one of the beginning verses of the Sikshashakam prayers, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays that na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmani swore bhavatad bhaktir ahituki tvai. Krishna, I want unalloyed devotional service to you. Mahaprabhu is praying. It's a want. And in the later verses, towards the end, yugayitam nimeshena chakshusha pravrushayitam shunyayitam jagat sarvam govinda virahename. Without you, my dear Krishna, the whole world is a dreary void. You are a need for me now. From want, Krishna becomes a need. And once Krishna becomes the need, that's the natural constitutional position of the living entity. The only need of a living entity is Krishna. The only need of the living entity is devotional service to Krishna. Every other need are nothing but different layers of artificial needs, different layers of unnecessary necessities of life. And we see so many other examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein because of their sincere devotional service, the want for Krishna, the want for devotional service has transformed into a need for Krishna, need for devotional service. In the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 8th chapter, there are prayers of Queen Kunti. Apyasya nastam swakrate hita prabho jihasasi swit surudodu jivina yesham na chanyad bhavata padambujad parayanam rajasu yojitam asam. Kunti Maharani prays that this is Krishna is about to depart from Hastinapur back to Dwarka, and Kunti Maharani is desperately praying to Krishna that now that we are reinstated in our position, Krishna, are you now going to leave us? Parayanam, we are completely dependent upon you. Surudonu jivina, anujivina, we are dependent upon you, my dear Krishna. We cannot live without you anymore. Please don't leave us. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, he makes a beautiful point. He says that for the Pandavas, separation from Krishna was like separation of a fish from water. You can't separate a fish from water. For a fish, water is a need. So similarly, for the Pandavas, Krishna was a need, a desperate need of their life. And as we go through the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 6th cant of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are prayers of Vritrasur. Nanaka prashtam. Not that. The next verse after that, Ajatapaksha eva mataram khaga sthanyam yatha vatsatara kshudartha priyam priyeva vishitam vishanna mano aravindaksha didrikshete tvam. Here Vritrasur is like opening up his heart. He's praying to Krishna that just like little birds who are still in their nest, they can't fly anymore. Ajata paksha eva mataram khaga. So they're not in a position to fly and collect their own food. So they are completely dependent upon their mother to come and feed them. We might have seen in, you know, National Geographic Channel or some other television show how little birds are desperately opening their mouths when the mother comes. Please feed me, please feed me. You know, the association of the mother bird is their desperate need. So Vritrasura is praying that just like for baby birds, the mother is a necessity. And he gives another example. That just like a calf, for a newly born calf, the milk of the cow is a desperate necessity. When I was younger and when I was staying at my parents' place, we had cows at our home. And the calf, you know, when we used to go to milk the cow, the calf would understand that now we are going to milk the cow and it would be desperate to come and drink the mother's milk. Almost ready to break the rope. So much of desperation because it cannot feed on any other food because it is too small now. So its desperate need is the mother's milk. So Vritrasura is telling, just like for a baby bird, its mother is a desperate need. Just like for a calf, the cow is a desperate need. Similarly, you are my desperate need, my Lord. I am hankering to have your darshan once again. And in the 7th cant of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Nasya kridanako balo जड़वत्तन मनस्तया कृष्ण ग्रह ग्रहितात्मा न वेद जगदीदृशम. There's a description of Prahlad Maharaj. Nyasta kridanako balo. He was not interested in playing like other boys. Jadavattan manastaya. He looked like a dull boy for other people because he was always absorbed in Krishna. And he was influenced by the Krishna planet, Shukadeva Goswami explains. And Narad Muni explains that Krishna graha grahita atma. He was influenced by the Krishna planet. And because he was influenced by the Krishna planet, what was he thinking? Na veda jagadidrisham. He is thinking, how is the world running without Krishna? People are comfortably living without Krishna. How is it happening? How is it possible? He just couldn't figure it out. How can anyone live without Krishna? Sometimes I feel even Radhesham Prabhu also thinks the same way. That how can the world live without Krishna? So he's desperate preaching all day long, all year long. So then we see in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the prayers of the gopis. Neha kim vadha. They use this word in the Gopi Geet. They are telling Krishna that, my dear Krishna, we are your maid servants. Without being present in front of us, you are killing us. Please come in front of us. We cannot live without you. So the function of Maya is the same. To convert wants into needs. But Maya converts material wants into material needs, which binds the conditioned soul more and more. Whereas Yoga Maya converts your spiritual wants into your spiritual needs, by which the liberated soul come closer and closer to Krishna. And the scriptures, they act as the bridge to take the conditioned soul from the level of, from the influence of Mahamaya to the influence of Yoga Maya. And because they act as a bridge, they have to entice people to get on the bridge. Because unless people get on the bridge, how will they cross the bridge to go to the other side? And to entice people to get on the bridge, they do give you recommendations for satisfying your wants through the austerities and the sacrifices that are mentioned in the Karma Kanda section of the Vedas. And that's their only purpose. Somehow induce you, entice you to get on the bridge so that you can go to the other side. And that's what this verse says. Those statements of scripture promising fruitive rewards do not prescribe the ultimate good for men, but are merely enticements for executing beneficial religious duties, like promises of candy spoken to induce a child to take beneficial medicines. So, thank you very much. Any questions?
So is food the issue?
Yeah, it's a good question. That possibility is there. So that is why the scriptures recommend that we take not just vegetarian food, but prasad, that food that is offered to Krishna. So when we eat food that is offered to Krishna, that is prasadam, then we can get liberated. There is no possibility of being within this creation. Like that. Thank you very much. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.